B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
That's the 4 o'clock hour, and the 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block. You want a stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise? Online, landisbc.com. Tim McManus, covering the Eagles for ESPN.com. We'll join us, and then we'll get Tim's spin on this, and we'll get his reaction to when Howie said that for better or worse, threw the worse in, which I found interesting. For better or for worse, they're quarterback developers.
I'm puzzled
by that.
Also, Mike, and I'm going to defer to you completely because you've been doing this a long time. He says he also today tried to use the spin, apparently, of price control on the backup versus paying a guy like $8 million. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this, Mike. If you draft a position player in the second round and ends up playing for you, isn't that player also under price control?
Yep.
Like,
and he's contributing.
Right. So if you drive a receiver or a defensive end or a linebacker there that might start or a safety, whatever you draft there, that player's also under price control. So I don't understand selling that because that's part of the reason you have to draft is because of price control.
He's putting a dollar sign on the position. So if the starter gets X, the price control then comes in for the backup.
But the problem with that is the Patriots, other teams, sometimes they have a young guy, sometimes they have a veteran. It kind of varies year to year. When they traded Garoppolo with New England, and he ends up making a Super Bowl, which kind of, to me, sounds like a quarterback factory, but Belichick would never be stupid enough to say it, they didn't always have a young guy under. Sometimes they had a veteran. It varied year to year based on what that roster needed.
Yes, and I'll go a step further, because a lot of people love to bring up, well, look, when you had a guy like Foles as a backup, and then you can trust him to come in and play for the starter. Foles wasn't in any price control. Well, price control, they were paying him $8 million.
Right. Uh-huh.
Right? Funny. it weren't about price control. So you can't have both. You can't have the argument that, well, the Foles thing proves you need a good backup, and then, like, shift over to the price control. Because sometimes they go hand in hand. If you want a backup who's as competent and played in the league before, like Foles, you're going to have to pay $7 million. All right. Let's go, John Newcastle. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, Mike, what's up?
What's up, John?
You know, that last dance, before I got to my Eagles point, that last dance is must-see TV. And these probably weren't your words, but my three words when I saw Carmen Electra with him in Vegas were, you're the man.
Well, interestingly enough, you know, I'm going to give, since you got the truck, that's not the words I use exactly, but it's the subject. All right, so we're going to give you the truck, because my words were, Carmen Electra, damn! Those were the three words that I used when I texted Tyrone last night. She looks great at her age.
First of all, does she eat, when they were showing her, like, today, I was like, oh my God, she hasn't aged in 20 years.
She looks amazing.
She's unbelievable.
So I went, Carmen Electra, damn. That was exactly my reaction. Yeah, she is 48. I have an interesting little story about the two of them, which was in New York Post today, which I'll get to after your call.
But, you know, as far as the Eagles are concerned, I look so forward to that draft. And we're not supposed to be smarter than Howie, but I mean, the blood drained out of my body when he made that second-round pick. And I feel so fortunate that we won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, because the Cowboys, the hated Cowboys, have smoked us in, like, the last five drafts. It's just a matter of time before they overtake us. I mean, I'm just depressed. They're doing everything right. And, I mean, oh, boy, it was a rough weekend. Rough weekend.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the Cowboys as much as I'm worried about taking care of my own house. You know, whatever happens with them happens. Like, I can't worry about what they did. But they did snatch a guy that I really wanted. So that's going to be in our face for a long time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'll be in our face for a long time. And, oh, what a Couldn't believe it when they picked Hurts. It was almost like a bad dream.
All right, John, you hang on because you're going to send that where you get the chip truck to you. Yeah, it was about Carmen Electra. It's only new. It was a basketball documentary, and that's what popped out to me last night, which meant it was, you know, it's all right. Those two episodes were all right. Though it was interesting to recap the time that he left the team, Dennis Rodman, went to Vegas.
That story was so funny.
It was funny. And Jordan having to go in there and grab him up, snatch him up out the hotel room.
And she hid behind the couch?
Yeah. What are you doing back there?
First of all, I would have hid too. Michael Jordan's knocking on the door. I'm like, I'm out.
Okay, so there's a story that fleshes this out a little bit.
Oh, really?
In the New York Post. Carmen told the Los Angeles Times today that the two once had sex, quote, all over the Bulls practice facility.
Yeah.
One day, when the Bulls had an off day from practicing, Dennis said he had a surprise for me. He blindfolds me, and we get on his motorcycle. When he finally takes my blindfold off, we're standing at the Bulls practice facility, center court. We're eating popsicles from the fridge and pretty much having sex all over the damn place. In the physical therapy room, in the weight room, obviously on the court.
That's nasty. Got all kinds of, that's nasty.
That's nasty.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was the bad boy of basketball. He dated Madonna. Next thing I know, he's inviting me to get on a flight to Chicago and see him play. Seeing the Bulls play was amazing. Michael and Scottie Pippen, that first night in Chicago, Dennis told me, you're not leaving. After that, it was pretty quick. We fell for each other pretty fast.
Look at that. And they got married, and then Rodman couldn't stay off the sauce.
Yes. Now, she goes, I was in my 20s. I was down for drinking and going to the clubs. Rodman tried to get her on the team plane, but the request was denied.
Mike had a line. That was probably Mike's line.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Not on the team. Come on.
Yeah. I ended up becoming one of the boys. He wanted me to go to all the games and everywhere with him. Every time I would leave Chicago, I would be on the plane and I'd start crying because I missed him.
Oh, that's cute.
So, apparently they don't talk much these days, but they share an agent. He sent some videos to me wanting to have lunch. Typical Dennis. So our agent put us on the phone for a few minutes and Dennis said hi. It was sweet.
Yeah.
Now, Carmen Electra, if you think about it, and it jogged my memory. She's an underrated, beautiful woman of all time.
Yeah.
She's up there, especially the way she looks now.
The circumstances of how she was introduced affected it, because you got to go back to Singled Out.
Yeah.
Jenny McCarthy. I mean, that was her origin story. Like, we didn't know who she was.
Right.
Jenny McCarthy leaves.
Uh-huh.
In comes Carmen Electra as a replacement. And for some people, she was always second tier because they like Jenny.
Yeah.
So that, you know, first impressions are, to me, she was always more attractive all the way around.
She's a stunning, beautiful woman.
And personality-wise, I liked her more because Jenny McCarthy got on my nerves.
Yeah.
Like, I was
too loud.
Yeah.
Too loud in your face.
Yeah.
I loved Carmen Electra.
So did I.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really take inventory of her being a beauty.
How?
So, I don't know. I knew she was out there.
She was stunning.
But did you see her last night?
Yeah, she looked great. She looks amazing.
She does.
Yeah, she kind of kept it all together.
She did. What does she do?
I mean, she probably has good, I mean, she definitely has work done, but it doesn't look like it's too much work, which is kind of where it can get a little bad.
Does she have a rich dude in her life?
No, she's self-made.
Yeah, I think she's with now. She hosts different things.
Mr. Carmen Electra, that's who she's with.
She's done the L.A. side of the New Year's Rockin' Eve a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
She did an album. She seems like she's a hustler. Like, she keeps getting checks.
She's not married right now.
Oh, she must have. So,
I think she's still. This spoils it.
What?
5'3".
Well, she was always short.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
She was always short.
Yeah.
That just comes with it.
Yeah.
What? She's too tiny?
Yeah.
Well, But
look, don't hate on a short girl.
She finds a way to keep
you're bigger than 5'3".
I'm like 5'4".
Yeah,
and I wear heels all the time.
Yeah, she's not really bigger than 5'3".
I'm not that much bigger than 5'3".
Not really.
Despite what the internet says.
They say she's 6 foot. She's not.
Despite the internet saying I'm 6'3".
Yeah.
Closer to 5'4".
Well, yeah. All right. Well, in any event, let's get back to analyzing the draft and not Carmen Electra with the man who covers the Eagles for ESPN.com. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Beyond Fast, his name is Tim McManus. Tim, I mean, I'm all wound up today, and I'm going to try to scale it down a little bit and talk more logistically about what they added here in the draft. So, give me the overall view of the Eagles draft here.
The way I look at it, Mike, is that they kind of went in, it seemed, with these like philosophies of who they are and who they want to be, and executed all along those lines. I mean, if you look at the first round pick of Jalen Reagor, I mean, you and I had discussed that could be a possibility because he'd fit the profile of the speed wide receiver. And then they just kept hammering that profile one after the other with three draft picks and then trading for Marquise Goodwin. And then the second part that sort of fits of who we want to be organizationally goes to that Jalen Hurts pick, where they want to have, you know, the quarterbacks in the pipeline. They want to be able to develop these guys. They have a history that suggests you need good ones there. And so they decided to take one super high, which obviously set off a lot of shockwaves in Philadelphia, and is going to be the center, I think, of conversation and debate, you know, heading into the season.
All right. So, first of all, to your first point on adding the speed, is that good or is it desperate to hope that the more they get, one will pan out, as opposed to, boy, we really have done our homework on this guy and this guy will pan out, so we don't have to take three of them?
Well, I think the idea of that speed is the way to go in the modern NFL is right. And you know, so I'm for them adding speed. It's clearly what they lacked last year. But I also do have kind of my concerns about the fact that if you're just profiling these guys and just going after the speed receivers, are you missing out on better products and better overall prospects, I should say, along the way? Like, and you know, first round one is a perfect example of that. I think if you're Jalen Reagor versus Justin Jefferson, does Reagor fit more of what you're trying to be as an offense? Yeah. But is Jefferson the better pro prospect? Yeah, I think the answer is yes to that as well, by most analysts and scouts account. So that's, I think, where you get into some potential tricky water there, Mike, is if you're trying too hard to be a certain team, do you end up missing out on the better talent? And that if this draft goes backwards on them, I think when we look back, that'll probably be the reason why.
All right, let's talk about the second round pick, which is getting most of the conversation, and I want to feel you out on this. I think it's absolutely absurd and ridiculous to do what they did, in light of the fact that in the second round, they could have got somebody in another position that could have actually helped next year. And I just don't understand the rationale that they're quarterback developers. So it makes sense of this for me, and maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, I can tell you what they're thinking, and that is that if you take somebody in the second round as opposed to the fourth round, there's a better hit rate. So you just kind of flip it. You take the quarterback in the second and the safety in the fourth, as opposed to vice versa. You know, as opposed to spending bigger money on a veteran who may not pan out anyway. If you look at their history, you know, they definitely have benefited, whether it be from trade or from actual on-field production, from having multiple quarterbacks in the room and investing heavily in that position. And so that is what they're thinking is. But it is unusual for sure for a team that has a quarterback that's in its prime, to then draft somebody that high. Normally it's in, like you see with Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers is 36, and they bring in Jordan Love. And the concern that I have about it is largely about Wentz. I mean, he just went through this whole spin cycle of getting hurt, watching Foles come in, take over the team, bring him to the Super Bowl, anonymous sources in the locker room, split allegiances allegedly, finally got out of that spin cycle and got to a point last year where he had taken control of that young team and had made it his own and was the unquestioned leader by the end of the season. And now you add Jalen Hurts, who is not just a second-round pick, but somebody that they plan on playing. So he's going to be coming in, taking snaps, I guess, from Wentz on occasion. And you know how this town is, Mike. You know, if Wentz stumbles and Hurts shines, even if it's in a small moment, you know what the conversation is going to be like. You know what the conversation has already been, and that it's central theme for that season. So I just don't know, all things considered, and especially when you add on the fact that you take that second-round pick and spend it on Hurts as opposed to somebody that could have helped Carson Wentz immediately, then you know, there are some definite questions that come as a result of that pick.
Why would they be seemingly oblivious to that, what you just said?
I don't know that they're oblivious to it. I just think that they view it maybe a little bit differently and think that it's worth it to be set up both as an insurance policy and maybe down the road or whatever the case, that it was worth whatever negative consequences could potentially come from it. But I don't know, am I weighing that too heavily or are they weighing in the opposite direction? I think time's going to tell that, but I just feel like the ingredients, when you consider the market that we're talking about and the situation where you have a quarterback that's actually going to be playing in these games, I think all the ingredients are there for a controversy, whether it's publicly or in media created or if it's real.
Here are what the people who like this are saying. Well, Wentz gets hurt every year, you got to have a competent backup. Now, I didn't just fall off a turnip truck. It's going to take a longer time for Jalen Hurts to be able to step in to be an efficient backup quarterback who can play several games, and it's not going to happen next year. Am I wrong?
No, there was a question posed to Howie Roseman on the conference call of what is like the ideal outcome here? Like, what's the best case scenario of how this unfolds? And there wasn't a clear answer in return. And if you look at the different angles of it, if it's like, well, if Hurts is thriving, it means Wentz got hurt. Can you trade him for more than a second round pick? How much more can you trade him for? Is he really the best backup option right now, given that he still has some developing to do on his own? So there are definite questions that come along with this. I mean, they could end up proving genius, Mike. Like, maybe they're ahead of the curve here. Maybe teams are going to start looking at this, especially as there could be longer seasons on the horizon here. I mean, maybe it all looks like super smart in a couple years, but there's definitely some risk that is involved with this pick.
Are you suggesting that load management will come to the NFL?
Who knows?
There's no way you can get away with load management at the quarterback position.
No, it's more like if the season extends, the chance for injury grows and the need for a second quarterback probably increases. We also know that Press Taylor has talked in the past about how he sees the game evolving, where it's going to be more two quarterback sets in your offense for more Philly specials and double reverse throws and all these other kind of things. So I'm really curious to see just how Hurts is deployed in his first year along with Wentz. And I'm equally curious to see how Wentz handles it because, you know, most alpha males here are not going to be really cool with the idea of like jogging off and on the field. And so what's the balance that's going to be struck and how is Wentz going to handle that week to week?
Can you get a gauge? Have you talked to anybody? I know Wentz tweeted out, like he was kind of forced to tweet out his acceptance of this. But beneath the surface, what do you think his reaction is?
So I asked Roseman that, actually, what his reaction was, and he didn't answer it directly. And then he's been asked on a couple different interviews since the same question. And the way that he has framed it is, I'm sure that Carson Wentz wanted some more weapons for right now. So I think we can pretty easily surmise that that's probably what the message back to Roseman was. Like, you know, what about now? What about helping us out for 2020? And I'm sure that is part of what his thinking is. I know that Wentz is a good teammate. Hurts, by all accounts, is absolutely a good teammate as well. And, you know, but that doesn't always mean that it's going to go super smoothly, because the same was true with Nick Foles, and there's still kind of this awkward dynamic that got created because of circumstance. And here, I think another one can happen too. And, you know, Wentz, above all things, I think is just an ultra competitor. So he certainly, I just think by the sheer makeup of him, wouldn't like the idea of not being in for every single play.
All right, final question is this, and it's, you know, it's kind of a pointed question. Do you believe after they did this, like, because this thought will go through people's mind, do they not like Wentz as much as we thought they did?
I haven't garnered that. I mean, that was like one of the first of many questions that pops in is like, what is going on? And Roseman even got asked, like, is he 100% healthy? Like, what's happening here? And they've been adamant that it's not reflective of how they feel about Wentz. I don't know that you can totally have blinders on to the fact that he's been hurt each of the last three seasons. You know, the most recent one was a fluke concussion, but there, before that, there was, you know, two significant injuries. You know, so that has to be a part of this equation. As much as they say that it's not, I mean, how can you, you know, if you are running a franchise, not be thinking about what the recent history is? So I don't think like they're down on the player. But I think that they absolutely, and Andy White even said that they're using an insurance policy and you know, use the second round pick to get one.
All right. I love the drama here, Tim. So we'll just see what, like, these drafts are funny because we have our opinion on them, and we're not going to find out until we actually see it for a couple of years of what they did here. I can't get past the fact that they needed a number two pick to move up to take CeeDee Lamb. They decided not to do that, and in the second, they took a quarterback who might not help them next year. So it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, and they set themselves up in this way, Mike, is that, and that's my understanding, that it would have taken, you know, the second round pick, number mm-hmm. 53 overall, to jump in front of Dallas, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a scenario if they would have pulled the trigger there where they'd have CeeDee Lamb instead of Reagor and Jalen Hurts, but now Dallas has CeeDee Lamb, and they took Reagor, and Jefferson went right after them. So there's going to be these natural comparisons over the course of the next handful of years with Reagor and Jefferson, with the decision to get Hurts, and where you could have had CeeDee Lamb, and so it's very much kind of open and exposed for them, and they have to hope that it works out in their favor.
All right, brother. Thank you. Good stuff. We'll talk to you.
I appreciate it, Mike.
Tim McManus, Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast.
No way Carson's happy. This might be a last straw situation.
I can't imagine he would be happy. But you have to be the good soldier. And
what about you, Mike? You're Carson. You being you. You're 27-year-old Mikey Miss.
No, I would take it as a sign of disrespect.
Right.
But, like, I'm programmed that, like, too much that way anyway. Carson might be a nicer fella. But I tell you, 5 wasn't that happy when they drafted Kevin Cobb.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I'm embarrassed.
And he was 31. And he was 31, not 27.
Russ Taylor talked about this last year, saying that this is the way that the NFL is going to go, where there's multiple people on the field who can throw the ball. So have they been planning this? They've been planning this.
But where's the proof of that?
They're citing Drew Brees.
They can't.
And Tyson. I agree, but if they're trying to get that crazy to make this happen in the NFL and they want to be the experiment...
Well, I think it's clear.
That's insane.
Press Taylor was a bad hire. If he really believes that, he's a bad hire.
He does. Yeah, it's an article.
He's a bad hire.
Listen, what they said last June. The NFL is never going to be a fluke league.
No.
Where you need that to win.
It's gimmicky. It's cheap.
It is.
Come on. I'm angry. I just dug this up and now I'm angry.
We'll take a break. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's get an update on a Twitter poll. See where that has moved today. Last time we looked at this, the majority of people weren't satisfied with the selection in the second round. So let's get to our update brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie. Nat?
Thanks, Mike. Over 2,200 votes on this one today. Do you think Howie knows what he's doing with the draft? 33% say yes, 67% say no.
All righty. Thank you. Let's go with, I mean, we haven't heard from Doug. So that's because Doug has compared the Hurts to a couple of players. And I'll have a comment after each comment of Doug. So here's what he says. Comparing him to, yes, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, it is a fair comp. Marty obviously was a part of that team that brought in Lamar Jackson, and obviously he did the evaluation process, and then, you know, you fast forward to where we are today, and I bring Marty on board and ask him to look, and Howie and Andy, you know, and their staff, they ask all our coaches to look at players, and Marty, with his expertise in quarterbacks, just take a look at all these guys, and, you know, he felt, you know, very similar in Jalen as he did in Lamar.
So when is the last time Marty Morningway had any kind of a viable contribution to any team? That's A, right?
He's claiming he was integral in the draft process for the Ravens.
All of a sudden, Marty Morningway is like, oh my God, what the hell has he done in the last 10 years? That's A. B, that's not a comparison to Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's dynamite. He was dynamite in college. Hurts was okay. He won dynamite. All right, now, if that one, you know, this is the comparison that everybody makes, right? Because the Saints have unveiled this dude out of nowhere that they stick on the field every now and then. So let's hear Doug's comparison to that.
Jalen Hurts, I mean, he has a unique skill set. And, you know, you see what Taysom Hill has done in New Orleans and how he and Drew Brees have a connection there and a bond there. And you even look at when Flacco and, you know, Lamar in Baltimore for the short period of time, how they gelled together. You know, it's just something we're going to explore. You know, I want to make a point here first and foremost that Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. And, you know, he was drafted as a quarterback and he's a quarterback first, but he has a unique skill set that he's a great runner, obviously. He throws well on the run. He's got a unique set of skills that we're going to take a look at as we keep developing this offseason and this advancement, so to speak, as we get ready for training camp.
All right. The only difference there that Taysom Hill was an undrafted guy that they took off a scrap heap and made it work for them, and they didn't have to spend the second-round pick. But, all right.
The other thing he does
I can't.
He covers punts. Is Hurts going to go make a tackle on the punt team?
I can't deal with propaganda. Like, I could never be in a Trump press conference. And, like, being in a press conference where a guy would say that would make me nuts. Like, I've lost my tolerance for propaganda.
It's I think that it's harder doing these teleconferences and these video things for guys to press because everybody's trying to jump in on one another. So I think this is like the perfect draft for them to have their propaganda machine. And the propaganda machine's out there. I mean, if you're using coronavirus to co-sign a pick, you can tell the propaganda machine's out there.
See, I would be, and this is why I'm limited. I keep myself in a basket, right? Because I would be a, what the F are you talking about guy? Right? And that wouldn't be good.
Musical quarterbacks is like a perpetual hell that Philadelphia does not want to be in. If there's two guys out there, why?
Also,
why do we have to do that? The Patriots didn't do that. God,
did the Saints win a Super Bowl?
I get so annoyed.
When's the last time did the Saints win a Super Bowl with Taysom Hill, Mike?
No,
because I don't remember them winning with Taysom Hill winning a Super Bowl. Did the Chiefs do two quarterbacks last year when they won the Super Bowl? Or did they add another receiver?
No, they added
a bunch
of
receivers so that the quarterback who didn't play a great game but was able to make enough plays at the end because he had a bunch of good players around him. Isn't that how the Chiefs just won the Super Bowl?
What, did the Eagles just want to be a guinea pig for this? They have to. If that's really what the rationale is, that they just want to be this guinea pig. And it's such an insult to the fan base.
I'm the guy going to the gallows who that's... You know, wants to find humor in it. Like, that's me right now. I'm like Perry Smith and Dick Hickok getting led to the gallows. It's how somebody tell me a joke.
You know what it is?
You know?
I got it now.
What?
I think that they're done with Wentz.
You think so?
Honestly. They know he's not ready yet, but I think that they figure in another year, we can find a way to get out of from under his contract. I think that that concussion, because he hasn't done anything else, quote unquote, wrong. Because he was the first 4,000 yard quarterback with no 500 yard receiver, blah, blah, blah. That concussion has made Howie and Doug decide we're moving on from this guy. That's the only, it doesn't make sense otherwise. You would draft a guy in a second round pick to develop if you expect him to be your starter. Nothing else makes sense. I have to go to what makes sense. They're done with Carson, and they drafted his replacement on Saturday.
Possibility. On Friday. I mean, that's why, like, maybe we think that they like Carson like we do, and maybe they don't. Maybe at this point, they do not like him as much as we thought they did.
Yep, I think they're done with him.
All right, let's go, Chris, in Northeast Philly. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Mikey Miss, what's up?
What's up, Chris?
How's it going?
Good.
You guys kind of stole one of my points, being that Taysom Hill was an undrafted free agent that they grabbed off the scrap heap, not in the second round. He'd take a gimmick player.
Yeah, and that's why maybe they're thinking that he's more than a gimmick player. He's eventually going to be their starting quarterback, and they want to get out from under this contract with Wentz. That they made a mistake. I don't know. It seems to me that before last year, they gave him the extension. They were all about him.
Mike, even if he is Taysom Hill, that's cute when you have Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, Drew Brees, and Jared Cook. We don't have anything that resembles that.
You're not going to win the NFL with gimmicks. Gimmicks are for desperate teams or springing one play on an unsuspecting team that will get you 40 yards. You know, it's not a mainstream thing to do.
I couldn't agree more. Bring back Trey Burton if that's what you want to do. He just got released. Bring him back.
Yeah, I don't think Trey's coming back. Let's go, Ted Mount Airy. Ted, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ted.
Hey, Mike, listen. I was listening to you talk to McManus. So I'm going to ask, because he touched on something I wanted to ask. Now, when you look up there in Green Bay, they took Jordan Love with the 26th pick in the first round. That guy is not going to see the field for 2 years. All right. So would you say they wasted a pick?
How old's Aaron Rodgers?
That's not my question.
It goes to my answer. It makes a lot more sense to develop a quarterback when a guy is in his late 30s. Why do you not see that?
But because you've been pressing this other point about why would you pick a guy that's not going to see the field this year when you have other needs? So Aaron Rodgers is a top five, top seven quarterback. So obviously they got other needs also. Why would they pick a quarterback?
Well, first of all, that was stupid of them to do that. And okay, most of the people that analyze the draft say it was stupid. But if you want to try to find a reason on what their rationale would be, it would be that Aaron Rodgers doesn't have 10 years left. Carson Wentz does.
And for you to say that you really believe Carson Wentz has 10 years, I don't know what you've been watching. But there's nothing about this guy that makes me put my hands behind my head and relax.
You might think it that he doesn't have 10 years. But when you draft a franchise quarterback, you're expecting him to be there for a long time. Aaron Rodgers is at the end.
But come on, Mike. We've been watching quarterbacks come and go, especially when you look up in Cleveland.
All right, so you don't like Wentz. I get it. Wentz.
No. See, that's not – well, I didn't say that at all.
Well, what are you saying?
What are you doing?
I've been riding with Wentz because that's what I have.
You're still going to ride with him because that's what you have. So why waste a second-round pick on a backup rather than a guy that can help the guy that you're going to have?
But that's what I'm saying, Mike. You got to wrap your mind around the fact that this guy, Jalen Hurts is going to be our new quarterback in 2 years. And your stubbornness is keeping
you from wrapping your mind around. Why would he be your quarterback in 2 years? Why?
Because this is the style of offense that Doug likes.
Then why did they give him the big extension?
Same reason we gave Tobias Harris money, because that's the he was the best available guy. He was a B-level talent that was,
They didn't have to give him a new contract. They could have let him play out the old one and gone in another direction if they didn't think that he was their guy. They gave him franchise years and money. They didn't have to do that.
Yeah, because he's been in the league 4 years.
Right.
He was a first-round pick. They could have let him play out the fifth
exactly.
year.
Exactly.
And then they chose not to do that because they gave him a vote of confidence. And then it seems like They're now snatching it back. And if they didn't want people to think that, then they shouldn't have drafted a guy at 53.
Snatching it back because what? He got a concussion? Which can happen to anybody on a football field at any time. It's not like a brittle bone.
Right, the back and the knee didn't bother him. It was literally just a concussion.
Yeah. All right, listen, the Rodgers thing. Everybody in the NFL said that the Green Bay Packers made a mistake. Right? Everybody said it. But at the end of the day, you can at least have some kind of justification. Right? They're eventually going to have to. They went through the same scenario with Favre. So they go, well, we're only doing the same thing. Maybe you don't like it now. Maybe Aaron won't like it because we do need some parts. And that's why people don't like it. But at least it makes a little bit more sense. Like, well, you're going to need Jalen Hurts in 2 years. Why? You're not expecting Carson Wentz to be done his career in 2 years. Mike Missinelli Show. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
It's 4:45. Mike Missinelli Show at 97.5. The Fanatic. 610-622-0975. So last night I was, first of all, the documentary that's on now is making me miss the Atlanta Child Murders documentary on HBO. So I watched it this morning.
Oh, okay.
I swear to God, I am tied in a knot.
You don't know whether
I am tied in a total knot about whether Wayne Williams committed these murders or not.
Now look at that.
I can't get a feel one way or the other.
Now you would think with this kind of heinous crimes that over an extended period there should be so much evidence over, you know what I mean, in such a pattern that it would be a slam dunk. It's telling that it's not a slam dunk. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's telling.
But who could it be? See, here, like, that's a lot of murders, man. You can't commit that many murders without leaving something out there where people get you.
Yeah.
There
is one thing somebody said. Whenever there's unsolved crimes like this, well, this one's solved, but like that, you know what the cops are never, ever looking for? They're never looking for a woman. And you have to go back to the initial and look at everything from a female perspective. Because rarely are females do crimes like that, but they have they say they're always harder to track because every profiler, every cop that shows up on the scene, they're always looking for male things. So that could be the only answer of who else it could be, perhaps a female.
Now, the thing suggests last night, like this was reviewed because he filed an appeal for a retrial because they did leave out some evidence for the defense. They didn't reveal some stuff. So by those grounds, he should have got a new trial. And the Supreme Court, Georgia Supreme Court, voted no go. But there was one dissent, and the dissenter on the court was interviewed, and he said, "This is why I dissented, and there were clearly grounds for a new trial." And we were pretty much going that way. And then there was a phone call that happened. And so the guy, he was either the governor or it was the president of the United States.
Was that Reagan at the time?
Reagan.
Interesting. He was supposed to be tough on crime.
And it was causing such a commotion, they wanted this case settled. So I don't know. But see, there's one witness in there that saw Wayne Williams like he was a kid. And he saw him in the neighborhood. And he saw him scoot up the stairs. And like, so he,
eyewitness testimony is the least reliable of all testimony.
I'm tied in knots.
I mean, he may have done it. I'm just saying.
Knots, man.
That's why they...
But there was also a movie I was watching last night, late at night, I'd never seen, with Ving Rhames and Kurt Russell.
What movie?
Dark Blue.
I've never seen that.
it's actually the backdrop of the Rodney King thing, and Ving Rhames is a high-ranking police officer, and he's fighting against corruption in L.A. Police Department, and Kurt Russell is...
He's a dirty cop?
Yeah, with Brendan Gleeson, who's the dirtiest cop.
Oh, look at that.
Who's a superior. And it wasn't bad. It had a decent cast in it, and I had never heard of it. And there's this kid in there named Scott Speedman. Now, do you know who he is, Natalie?
Yeah. I know who he is.
Yeah. I know Scott Speedman,
too. I remember him.
Where do I know this guy from? What
was he on
in?
Felicity?
Yes.
All right, yeah. It's Felicity.
Well, yeah.
This pretty boy.
I know this guy.
Was either in 90210. He's a pretty boy.
Yeah.
He was in Felicity?
Yeah.
I knew it was something, because I'd never seen him anywhere else. But I knew he was on some kind of series where young people watched.
Yeah, he was on Felicity. That's so funny.
All right.
Yeah, Canadian.
Yeah, he's cute.
What else was he in?
I think he was England. Let's look. Well, he did this. You didn't watch Animal Kingdom.
No.
You didn't watch Triple X.
No. I knew I'd seen him somewhere.
I mean, he's been a working actor for a while.
It must have been Felicity, because that's when I was at the WB.
Oh, yeah, probably.
So
yeah,
he must have been on a Felicity poster that I walk into WB every day and see his face.
There it is.
And that's where it got me.
He was Ben on Felicity.
There you go. All right. Let's go Spanky in Cobbs Creek. Spanky, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Spanky.
Mike, what's going on?
What's up, Spanky?
I couldn't wait for you to hear what you said about this stuff, too. And I feel the same way, Mike. I guess it was like, I get them taking the quarterback. Don't get me wrong. Probably, even if they could have used one of them fourth-round picks, if they were going to do it, then they do it then. But you can't do it at the second round, especially when you got other talent sitting on the board for something that you didn't really need right then. And I was like, WTF, too, Mike. Like, what the? Like, I just couldn't believe they did that. But I'm just starting to think, like, these cats think they invented the wheel. And I just don't understand how much longer are they going to be able to get by with that. And he picked all them fast cats afterwards, and that's cool and all. But I tell you one thing, Mike, one of them better be able to play. I swear to God, one of them better be able to play.
Yeah, well, he's taking a chance. He got four speedy dudes in there, and I guess he's hoping one will pop out. Right? Now, to me, that's desperation.
And I looked at some of the undrafted cats that he signed. Like, they got one dude, Killings. That dude looked like he's a Mighty Mouse. He might, I don't know, if he make it to the team, it's going to be strictly because of his speed. But you just can't have speed dudes. Somebody got to be able to play. And Mike, I want to appeal to your, you know, you're a stylish dude. You know, I've known you for a while right now. I check you out. You got style. I got a violation on Jordan right now, Mike.
You got a violation on Jordan?
Yeah, on Jordan. Like, you know, when you got loot like that, Mike's starting to look round right now, Mike. I mean, I don't think that when you Jordan, you ain't supposed to look round. Like, you Charles, you can get away with that because you was a power forward. But when you Jordan and you got loot like that, you got a beautiful young wife, you're supposed to kind of, Jordan seemed like he's getting comfortable and he's just laying back. And if he gets fat, he gets fat. I don't think that's cool. I think that's a violation, Mike.
Well, you think he's getting a little heavy? Horace Grant looked heavier than he did. Horace Grant blew up, man.
I know that, but Horace was a power forward. You can't be a shooting guard and gain weight.
It's tough to keep up. Like, you're not working out like a basketball player. It's tough to stay thin.
I know, I get what you're saying.
Listen, it wasn't his weight that stuck out with Michael Jordan. It was his eyes, man. Donald Trump would advise him to bleach those eyes.
They're all yellow. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's
Jordan. Yeah, see, that's a liver situation, man. My man likes to pound some spirits, it looks like.
Yeah, but you remember when he said he didn't used to drink? I guess he pounding him like, now he's starting to look old. You can't be Jordan looking old. I just think,
how old is he?
He's 57 years old.
Yeah, he's 57.
I don't think he looks bad for 57, except for the eyes.
That's a liver situation.
But I noticed now that they're using some of the other days, because a lot of it's from that one day where he's sitting in the chair. And I think what they said was, I'm going to sit here with this yak, I'm going to drink, and y'all just keep rolling.
Yeah.
But the other days, it looks a little better. I think that day must have been, he started getting a, He'd have few pops.
You should inject a little bleach right in there, just to get the injection.
Don't mess with the eyes. You're Jordan.
like a LASIK. There's got to be a way to have LASIK with using bleach.
Yeah, but you don't want to do that.
Why would you do bleach? Why take a chance?
You're rich. Michael Jordan?
I'm being facetious.
There's people who really do that.
I can't tell anymore.
Really?
No.
We talk about injecting bleach. You can't tell where I'm going.
I'm joking.
You know.
What's up?
No.
Oh, you were going to say something? Go ahead. Say something.
Never mind.
Come on. Say something. With MJ?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He's had complete creative control. Yeah. I still come away from this going, as a guy, like, I recognize his stature. Don't like Jordan.
Yeah, you don't like him.
Does not come off likable to me in these. Haven't so far.
No, I feel
don't
like
have none of his teammates' backs. Not one. Have somebody's back, Mike.
A lot of people have that opinion. No one really likes him.
I don't like Mike.
Yeah, I
have somebody's back.
I'm not like getting caught up in not liking him because then I watch the highlights and I go, God, good Lord.
Well, he's excellent player.
It steers me away from the fact that he's. Yeah, you got a little edge that's not likable.
About to be the dream team next episode.
Yeah.
So that's probably going to come back up. But I'm wondering if they're going to do the whole when Horace Grant peaced out and beat him. I bet you Jordan scrubs that right out.
Because that's how Scott Burrell felt about last night.
And then Michael, with all that yak, and then you sitting there talking about Scott Burrell that way?
And he's going, come on, M.
Yeah, come on. And he don't have the stature to hook off on Mike, but you know he wanted to.
Yeah. 5 o'clock hours ahead. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.